Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Blue Collar BS. I am Brad Herta, joined as always by the man keeping Detroit on the map, Mr. Stephen Doyle. How is life treating you today, sir?
You know, it's Detroit. So, you know, we've got potholes, unpredictable weather, and a whole lot of damn attitudes here. But today's episode, this one is worth showing up for.
You are absolutely correct, Mr. Doyle. Have you ever sat around wondering what it actually takes to build something from nothing, whether that's a business, a career, or just a damn good day at work? This episode is your playbook.
And let's be honest, we hear the same damn excuses all the time. Nobody wants to work. Kids these days, they just don't get it. Yeah, well, maybe the problem ain't them. Maybe it's just us not getting out of our own damn way.
Exactly. And that's what we're here to break down today. How do you take ownership? Stop making excuses and actually lead, whether you're on the floor or running the show. This episode is for anyone who is sick of that noise and ready to do the work.
So crank it up. Skip whatever freaking meeting you've going on to next, because this conversation is the kick in the ass you've been waiting for.
Let's roll. Here we go.
Welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS. How you doing today, Brad?
I am fantastic, Mr. Stephen Doyle. How are you and the fabulous city of Detroit, Michigan doing?
You know, it's can't decide if it wants to be sunny or cloudy out today. So, but I'll take it because the snow's starting to melt, starting to become springtime here. So
we're getting rain snow mix today. So that kind of sucks.
Good for you.
As much as I was hoping golfing would happen sooner rather than later, we got some snow last week and then cold again. Damn it.
Right. Well, you know, it's okay. It's right around the corner. It's getting close. So who do we got on the show today?
So our guest today is Nathan Schnell. I met him through a LinkedIn connection. He's local here in Wisconsin. He has started out as a production manager to a manufacturing specialist to a supervisor to all the things in between. And now he is all the things, owning his own business, deciding to go on his own, become the entrepreneur, become the guy that's going to lead the next generation to success. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome.
That's what they always say.
Yeah, that's what
they always say that at the beginning. And then for somehow it just kind of fizzles. I don't know.
It's all good. So Nathan, before we get too deep into this, which generation do you fit in with, identify with?
I was born in 95, so I'm right between the two.
Wow.
I'm a little young, but we've had some practice.
95. So that is the end of millennial, beginning of Z.
You're right.
Yeah, I believe that I fit in with closer to the millennial. However, I like to get my knowledge from the older generations.
Like me.
Yeah, boomer.
Wow, thanks.
Yeah, I couldn't resist. It just rolled right off the tongue. It was kind of nice. So Nathan, tell us about your journey. Tell us how you got started.
Yeah, so InnoFab came across in January 25 this year. Rewind a whole bunch. Probably about 15 years ago, I started working with our family in Milwaukee here out of Anchor Rack. And Anchor Rack made plating racks for the manufacturing of plated parts. And I worked with the family for, I'd probably say, about 10 years. And then we were able to sell it to a larger business called Engineered Products and Services, Inc., IPSI, out of Franksville, Wisconsin. So, I mean, when I was working in the Anchor Rack side, I was doing everything from general labor, welding and fabrication, CNC operations. I would do the water jet and the CNC wire benders. And then finally, I made it to management after quite a few years. Mm-hmm. So I had my hands full along the line, but I learned a lot.
Right. Broke that barrier, broke that ceiling of, hey, you're doing all the things. Now let's pay you to do all the things as well, like you should have been for probably several years earlier, my guess. But that's just me hypothetically speaking.
Yeah. But I mean, January of 2020 came along pretty fast, and we sold it to EPSI. And when I started with them, I helped transition the business. And in that position, I was a production manager, but I also helped transfer. After 2 years of time, I was promoted to a manufacturing specialist. And that's where we developed a new and implemented a new process along with bill of materials. So that was the complete opposite of what we had at Anchor Rack. It was a good sized company with about a dozen people,
mm-hmm.
but that's where it stayed. And now I was able to see how businesses ran in a larger structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible. So now I want to put them both together.
Yeah. That is spectacular. That is, that is super exciting that a young gentleman is able to go into a business, a family business, and go and get that experience and knowledge and wisdom. B, a guy that is as young as you are, that's gone through two acquisitions, if I heard that correctly.
Just one to Epsi.
One acquisition. Okay. The mm-hmm. one acquisition at a opportunity that most don't even pay attention to. Most of the time it's just, oh, we're sold, no big deal. But you mm-hmm. took advantage of that opportunity. And then now you are starting your own entity. That is, congratulations, sir. That is a huge win.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So as you started out your own entrepreneurial journey and becoming that owner, what are some of the things that you are facing being a younger guy in industry with maybe your service partners, maybe the bankers or the suppliers or the trucking companies, things like that? What are you facing from maybe a bias or a relationship side of things with those industries or people?
I think the biggest thing right now is just understanding how the business side of things work as a business owner, because mm-hmm. When I was younger, I was in the shop. I was sheltered by the four walls. I didn't have to deal with the bureaucracy and everything else.
That damn door between the office and the shop. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've never really had much to do with sales. And in the last 2 months, 3 months that we've been open, all I've been doing is networking. And everybody that I met through networking is, I mean, you meet one great person, they put you on to three more great people, and it just never ends.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the sales aspect was probably the hardest part for me right now.
Okay.
Usually the case.
Yeah.
We're laughing, but we have a little of experience in that. You know, jumping right out and going, yay, I own a business. Wait, I have to do sales now? So
yeah,
it's
bookkeeping and running the machine.
We get to do sales.
We get to do sales.
Yep. Yep. Curious, now that you've broken out onto your own for the first couple months here, what would you say are the biggest surprises that you've seen or had?
Biggest surprises, probably I come back to the people that I'm meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The more that I meet new people in these networking events, the more that I just remember that we're just all humans. Through this, I've had quite a bit of doubt. And what I'm learning is it's sales is not a problem anymore. We should just throw sales out and we should call it networking in a way. Because if you know somebody, it's just going to come around.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the biggest issue for me is I thought that the only way to stay keeping an income was having the sales come in, but mm-hmm. it's just the opposite.
Interesting. Elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
For our audience.
Okay. It brings me back to the events. I've been working with West Allis and Wauwatosa, the commerce. And mm-hmm. I met new people through there. Brad, you reached out to me. It was actually probably the first couple of days that the business was open. Angela Ryan was able to help me from Exotic Species. And that's branding.
Mm-hmm.
She helped me with the logo, everything to the website. So as soon as that happened, you kind of reached out. And I think, Brad, you were kind of the first person that led me to the way that it's breaking out in the spider web, which is phenomenal.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Should I say thank you? You're welcome, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Take the win when you get it.
No, Angela's awesome, right? I work with her brother for his excavation company as well. So she's amazing. She's really cool.
Yeah, I don't think this would have probably been possible without some of that help, to be honest. I've always just been you get it done in the shop, but there's so many other aspects that they all got to work together. It takes a small village.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you, as the business owner, as the doer, as the maker and creator of all things that happen throughout your day, how have you been able to either set aside the time, work it into the schedule, work the phone calls into while you're delivering parts, whatever that is? How have you worked all those aspects of the business into your daily routine so that nothing's getting missed?
I've made it a hobby. That was one of the biggest things I was worried about, is how I'm going to bring it all together. But I'm thankful that it's just me and my fellow dog, my dog Sadie. And we got a pretty open schedule. So when we have work, we have work, and we have nothing going on at night. So if we just stay here, watch a movie while the machine runs, that's what we do. And then the next day we'll go deliver those parts or go to another customer trying to see if we could be of service. And it's just whenever the time comes around, it's kind of what I'm putting in the work so I can have a little bit of time back in someday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as you've gone through this, where do you think your first hire opportunity may come from? Do you think it's going to be on the shop floor side, or do you think it's going to be on the administrative side?
Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting.
there's a reason I asked this question.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yes, there is.
Because you're not alone in this scenario. I have this conversation a lot with many people, and often it is not the right answer.
So
for how short of time we've been operating, I'm having a hard decision between office administrator or keeping somebody running the machine or sales. Those are my three biggest ones. Once you get the sales in, the machine has to run. And once you get more busy, there's a lot more paperwork and there's a lot more design.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think I'm leaning towards an operator of the machine.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna take wrong answer for 500, Nathan.
Okay.
And I guess here's the reason why I guess I would suggest that you look more at the admin side, because your time personally is far more valuable running the piece of equipment and outselling than it is writing up a purchase order, doing an invoice, creating a shop order, doing all those other things. Because let's just say you wanted to make, let's just say you're pulling $100,000 a year, $50 an hour, right? Everything you do in your business is $50 an hour. Would you pay $50 an hour for somebody to just make copies and do those things? My guess is you'll shake your head and go, no, not at all. But the reality is you are.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. That's a new way to look at it. I like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So as much as I can appreciate, yes, I'd like to have the operator so I can sell and go get it done. The admin piece will be the bane of your existence because you don't want to do it. Unless you want to be the admin person of your business, I don't get that vibe from you yet, because I think you like getting dirty. I think you like being on the shop floor.
That's the whole reason it started.
I would urge you to think about admin side first before you go shop floor, because it will help with all your other processes, and you have somebody to do all the things that you write. Hey, John or Sally, can you write this up? And oh, by the way, can you just write out all the steps we need to do so that when I hire the operator, they know what to do next instead of you having to do it? They can support you on doing a lot of that other work.
Excellent. Yep.
What's your thoughts between the second person on?
Hey, it's our show, not yours. You don't get to ask the question.
I apologize. This is free learning. You know what?
He's taking advantage. I like it. When opportunity presents itself. So, Brad, put you on the spot. Answer his question.
And that question was directed to you, Steve. You get hire number two. I have hire number one.
Hire number one is always the easy one. Hire number two, sales or operations? So again, using the same analogy, would you pay your sales guy? What do you love to do? Do you love the networking or do you love the machine operating?
I have to figure that one out yet, because the networking area is brand new to me and I've been owning it right now.
Mm-hmm.
My first instinct was, I've said it many times that the sales aspect is not for me, but as an owner operator, it sure is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting decent at it. But I mean, it's been a short time. So we have a long time ago.
Right. So when it comes down to, think of it like this. Your salesperson is out interfacing with the people that essentially are signing over checks for you. Your operator is in the walls. They're doing the job. They're working in your business. So when you get to the point where you don't have to wear all the hats, there's a point where it's more advantageous as you as the owner to be working on your business versus in your business.
Oh, I'll put that phrase.
I know you do. That's why I used it.
Just a dick, Steve. That's great.
That's why I used it. But at some point, there's days when, especially if we came from a doing background, like, hey, I'm a heavy doer. I like using my hands, going and doing stuff. But then there's days where it's like, I just need to get out of the doing and actually work on things. Like the strategy, where is the business headed? When are we doing that? If you resign yourself to being the operator, always doing the thing, it's hard to pull yourself away to work on the thing, on the business. So there's that initial conundrum we as doers have. It's like, no, I really want to do this. But then...
Oh, Steve just called... Did you notice, Nathan, that Steve just called himself a doer? Did you notice how he used the word we in that statement? Go ahead, Nathan. Ask him how much of the we do on this, like this show. Go ahead. Ask him, Nathan. Please be my guest. I can't wait to answer on that.
You really want me to answer that, Nathan? Brad does almost everything. Almost. You know, when I say almost, I can't give him that last 1%.
No, because you show up. So you show up.
I do show up.
Even when you're sick.
Even when I'm sick, I show up.
Yep. Even when you're sick. So the book that we're getting to here is Dan Martell, Buy Back Your Time.
Yep.
Essentially, it's a really amazing book. It's awesome. It kind of goes through. So admin, customer success would be that next piece of it, that internal communication piece, then that marketing, then that sales, then the leadership side of things. But you're still going to need the direct labor support to manage your hours and output and things like that, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be there 24/7 either. At some point, you need to get that life balance, etc., in alignment, and you don't want to be there 24/7. You don't want your people to be there 24/7. So it's just a matter of putting all those things in place. But yes, admin first, and then I would say operations would be that. I would say customer success would be the second piece to it, if that becomes your networking person, the business development, because again, that's where you can you meeting people and them meeting people. It's two different networks. It's two different opportunities to create scale for you guys. You may go to West Allis and Wauwatosa. That other person might be going out to the Falls or out to Oconomowoc or down to Racine, Kenosha, or wherever things are going. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you don't want to your radius of influence, because you're also doing all the machine running. You don't have 4 hours a day to be in a car.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. For opportunity, you know.
So yeah, no, it's a great topic. One of the other questions I have for you, Nathan, is as a younger business owner, younger in age, but also younger in, hey, I just started something new. Help our audience kind of walk through that mindset where you finally said, you flipped the switch and said, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own.
So it helped a lot that I was able to have my family was behind me. Mm-hmm. We've got a very big extension of business owners within my bloodline. And that kind of just, by knowing that, helped me a lot. But what really happened towards the end of 2024, I noticed an opportunity. That opportunity was to cut components. And nobody was really doing it, or the people that were, the lead times were too high. So, I mean, the demand was there, so I jumped into it. And mm-hmm. then finally, the family.
Excellent.
There's for everybody's problem is somebody else's opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And kudos to you for looking for the opportunity versus, oh, well, you know, this is going to be a problem. We got to figure out.
Yep.
Kudos for thinking about opportunity and being in a mindset of abundance versus, holy shit, how's this going to work?
Yeah.
I think that the first opportunity, finding the first one, is by far the hardest part, because brings it back to every person I meet, you meet three more people.
Yep.
And they know three people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
From your sphere of influence, help me understand, you had mentioned you like learning from more seasoned professionals. Who are those mentors?
He didn't say seasoned. He said older.
He did, but I'm giving you old farts the benefit of the doubt.
It's like trying to make a salad taste good.
Salad does taste good.
So there's been many ways. It's the reason why I say older generations is because they have gone through it. They have trialed and erred.
Mm-hmm.
And I do trial and error, but I try to get the three best options first. And mm-hmm. they have been able to lead me to those three best options. Otherwise, I'm taking 10 options and failing 5 times. And you're going to fail no matter what at times. But
right.
the odds have just been a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So InnoFab, we're actually renting a building from Reliable Plating Works. That's Jamie Malcheski. He's been in the industry for a really long time. He's also got Elite Finishing LLC. Mm-hmm. And I would probably say he's the first contact I've ever made in the manufacturing metal finishing market. Reason mm-hmm. being is because the shop space Anchor Rack was in, he was the neighbor, so we were able to build product for him. And after time, the building got vacated, and he purchased it, and I just mm-hmm. needed a space, and that's where I am. So he's helped me so much by just, giving me a place to rent and being a sounding board, and he's just another example of one of those guys that just know everybody. So it's expanding the network.
Yeah, and it's great because the connections that you're making, and for our audience, what Nathan's doing is he's leveraging a network to help support him, and he's not trying to do it on his own. And that's the key point that, I think most people kind of fail when they first start out a business, is they're trying to do everything on their own. They're trying to be the super person, whether it's Superman, Superwoman, doesn't matter. We're trying to do too much on our own, and we're not...
Going to add that it also appears, Nathan, that you're not trying to sell to every person that you're meeting. Mm-hmm. Instead, you're trying to create a relationship to let people buy from you instead of saying, hey, I do this metalwork. Can you buy something from me? You can't do it, but who do you know that can buy something from me? That doesn't appear to be your MO of what you're doing, mm-hmm. which creates a significant opportunity for others to, hey, this is a good guy that's doing this other thing. I know I can't help him, but I know that these three other people might be able to. So they're willing to make the introduction because he didn't just go out there and sales slobber all over him.
I will double down on that when I first started, because I did not have any of the sales knowledge, it kind of was, hey, I have a water jet. I can cut components. I can do it really fast with quality product. But I want to be not the smartest in the room. I want to surround myself by the smart people and just... Mm-hmm.
You're the smartest in this room. That's
if you give them what they need to succeed.
Yep.
Even though Steve went to Michigan, you're still the smartest in this room for sure.
I appreciate that.
All right. So last question here is always the best question. It's always the fun question. So Steve came up with this great idea to call Bite Your Tongue. This segment called Bite Your Tongue. And essentially what we're looking for is a story or an opportunity, maybe something that is either personal or professional, where you maybe won it and it could be one of your first networking events where maybe you went and said, I probably shouldn't have said what I said. And then how did you either back away from it or recover from it?
That's an awesome question. I believe I'm in the middle of the recovery right now, actually. So,
yes.
So trial and error. I always say that you got to do something. If you don't do anything, you'll be in the same position. And
yep.
I'm young, so you gotta fail sometimes. But I had a really good relationship with the business at Epsy. So, like I said, they were able to show me the best of both worlds. I was able to have my manufacturing experience that I got from the family, and they were able to show me the whole administrative side of the business, which was awesome. I'm extremely thankful for that. But on my way out, I've never departed before, and I've never opened a business, and I was not good at the sales aspect yet. So it was, hey, I appreciate everything you've guys done, but I'm kind of heading out in January, and we can have a good departure if you guys give me some sales. And looking back on it, damn. So, like I said, I believe.
How'd that work out?
Not too good. But I believe we're in the middle of it, and it's salvageable. But that's just one of the things that you live and you learn. So, that's a good segment.
That is fantastic. So for folks that want to or have interest or want to support a young entrepreneur in the water jet metal cutting world, how do people find you, get a hold of you, go out and get a quote? How do they do that?
We can be found online at InnoFabUSA.com. We got a LinkedIn presence. It's just InnoFab. And I've got my email and phone number connected to the LinkedIn and the website. If anybody needs a quote, it's right there.
Spectacular.
Awesome.
Nathan, thank you so much for sharing your story and being part of our journey and leveraging the opportunity that was here to be able to flip the script and ask questions. That's awesome. We greatly appreciate you being here and taking the time and taking the risk to answer a LinkedIn request to have a conversation to lead to this, right? So, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great week.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.